As a second semester senior, I've heard the words "I don't care" often these last few weeks. Seniors have hit the point of utter laziness, with most of us making college decisions and questioning why our teachers are still keeping us busy. What I've realized from this is that sometimes it is easy for us in our busy and distracted lives to forget to care. Our scripture reading today, found in Luke 5, reminds us of Jesus' unwavering care for others, even those who are outcasts in their communities. He aids the paralyzed man, as we read today, and in other passages welcomes the tax collector, a typical pariah, and removes the evil spirits from a possessed man. In reflecting on this scripture as I thought about speaking today, I was reminded of the many ways others have cared for me, both in small and large ways. This past January, I felt the care and compassion from a previous stranger as I traveled to Argentina. My classmates and I spent 10 days of homestay in the rural town of Bonpland and could have not felt more like outsiders when we arrived. I lived with Chuda, the grandmother of the neighborhood, who is the ultimate caretaker in everything that she does. Almost every night, she hosted dinner for us and her two daughters' families, cooking for 15 people without complaint. While I was impressed by her natural compassion toward every person in Bonpland, the instance that marked her true care for me involved my shoes. Bonpland doesn't have roads like Nashville does. Instead of pavement, the streets are made of burnt red dirt that has left even my socks tinged 4 months later. After a few days of completing service work in the town, my bright white sneakers were so caked in dirt that I was sporting a new platform heel. As I ate my breakfast one morning, I heard the sound of scrubbing and found Chuda cleaning my shoes in the garage before she even ate her breakfast. I told her profusely that she shouldn't have, but she just kept responding, "Por supuesto, ahora eres mía," of course, you are mine. Chuda could have easily upheld her responsibility with the travel company by giving us a bed and food and sending us on our way. Instead, though, her efforts to fully welcome me and treat me as family showed her care and compassion. Feeling at times lost and homesick in a foreign country, I felt the same care from Chuda as the paralytic did from Jesus. From the youth ministry here, I have also learned how to apply Jesus' teachings in my life and care for those around me. Through trips to Nashville Food Project and activities like 30-hour famine, I've garnered that just by being present, I can help with someone's struggle with hunger. As I stand here nearly 3 months away from college, I thank this congregation for caring for me my whole life. From play school to Sunday school to youth group, I see this church as a second home and a set of people who support me no matter what. You have all taught me how to care, and I know I will take this skill with me to college and beyond. Caring for one another isn't about being extravagant or grandiose. It's about being present and active in someone's life rather than being idle. All you need to do to show someone you care is show up. Be there for them. I hope today that each of you will reflect on how others have touched your lives through their care and how we can all show that same care to everyone we come in contact with. Whether that means an encouraging word to someone in pain or a smile to someone who doesn't feel welcome, we can all touch someone's life by showing that we care.
It was a hot, sticky night on the island of Eleuthera, and we were getting eaten alive by mosquitoes. There I sit with the rest of the West End guys as we awkwardly shot a basketball on the local basketball court. One of our BMH leaders had told us that there was a group of young men who had seen us working and wanted to play us in a game of pickup. After a few more minutes of shooting by ourselves, a group of five or six bohemians walked up to the court and started shooting with us. We eventually began playing a real game, and shortly after, a small crowd began to form. As we continued to play, more and more people began to gather around the court. They cheered, yelled, and laughed as the game went on, and were never anything except welcoming and cheerful. After covering my body in ice and taking a couple Tylenol, it really hit me how genuine the people of Luther were. These people, many of whom were poverty-stricken and had very few possessions, were so loving towards each other and used their faith as a way to come together. These mission trips that I have been on over the past 3 summers have played a vital role in the development of my faith, and it is in these poorer communities where I see how loving each other, just as in the story from Luke, can bring together a community regardless of the conditions in which they live. Whether it be in the Bahamas, Alabama, or right here in Nashville, all three of these trips have showed me these types of communities. While in Alabama, we met a man who worked at the Upper Sand Mountain Parish named Marty. Upper Sand Mountain Parish helped people throughout Alabama, specifically those who had been affected by natural disasters. This work can oftentimes be very strenuous and grueling, and simply 1 week of it absolutely wore me out. Marty, however, worked virtually every day, all the while cracking jokes and making us laugh. Now, while Marty's being an Auburn fan may have made me slightly biased, he was extremely influential to me. While on the trip, many of the guys had started a bro fund for snacks at the local Walmart. We had around a whopping $2 in change when someone told Marty about the fund. He took out his wallet, pulled out a $10 bill, and dropped it into the bucket. Even after we tried to convince him that this was way too much and that the fund was somewhat of a joke, Marty insisted that we keep it. As I now prepare to move on to a new chapter of my life, the love that these communities showed, not only to each other, but also to complete strangers, has influenced me to always help not simply those who are in need, but also those who seem to have everything together in their life. Whether it be emotionally or physically, there is always a way in which you can make a difference, just as Jesus Christ did.
Up until a year ago, I did not believe in God, and I struggled to admit this during my confirmation class. I didn't know exactly why I didn't believe. All I knew was that I felt like there was something wrong with me. I felt ashamed and I felt guilty. But I eventually became honest with myself and others, and was the only one in my confirmation class not to be confirmed. I still felt empty. Things got tougher for me once high school came around. I was still searching for that something I was missing, wanting to find it so desperately. I was in a dark place trying to escape. I refused to open up, fearing how I would be viewed as an individual. I still couldn't grasp the idea of God and felt different from most kids. However, I was still attracted to the love and support I received here at West End. I found West End to be welcoming to all kids with no signs of cliques. I formed strong friendships in my youth group where I felt I could be honest and open. They loved me through times when I had a hard time loving myself. It became a safe place for me when I was surrounded by darkness. Eventually, it came to me. I had a spiritual awakening throughout time once I escaped my dark place, a little over a year ago. I look back now at how God was taking care of me, even though I was not aware of it at the time. How he kept me safe when I felt I wasn't. I realized how much God was caring for me. I realize now how much I have learned through my years at West End, how to love and serve others. My eyes were open to the reality of poverty and hunger around the world through these mission trips. I feel like since learning how to love, I've been able to give back the love that was so freely given to me. I've been able to help kids who are suffering how I have suffered by sharing my experience, strength, and hope with them. I feel that to this day I have a better understanding of my life. I have a sense of purpose in this world and do not feel the shame that I once did. As I go off on my own here soon, I'm going to try and bring these lessons I've learned with me. I just want to thank the entire West End community for the support and love it has shown me.
When reflecting on this story, what stands out to me the most is Jesus first forgiving the man of his sins before letting him walk again. The sequence of events makes me think about the dichotomy of physical wellness and spiritual wellness that we see in the story. Jesus identifies the spiritual wellness of this man as equally or more important than his ability to walk. Often spiritual health is the hardest to measure and recognize, yet Jesus teaches us that it should be at the utmost of our priorities, not only for ourselves, but for those in our lives. I recently read an article that explained that first-year medical students at Loyola University Medical Center in Chicago must make rounds with a pastoral care mentor as part of their training. As quoted in the article, the hospital chaplain claimed, "Illness befalls the person, not just bodies, but the whole person. And that person has a whole set of belief systems and values, and the spirit is wounded." The article explains the recent research on the importance of doctors being tuned into the mental state of their patients in order to fully heal them. Modern medicine in recent years has turned back to the idea of holistic healing of the mind, body, and spirit as one. Our souls can fail us if not taken care of just as easily as our bodies can fail us. We are starting to realize the vital connection between our mental and physical states, a lesson that the Bible seems to have taught us thousands of years ago. So often, detecting spiritual shortcomings can be the hardest, which is why it takes Jesus to bring this man to light. Jesus obviously sees the spiritual need in this man immediately and recognizes the importance of healing him in that way, in addition to giving him the ability to walk again. My first experience learning this hard lesson occurred this past January. I went on a mission trip to Jinja, Uganda, where I had the pleasure of interacting with the women and children at Heal Ministries. The most important thing I learned while there was that I could not, nor could anyone, provide the mere material necessities to these families, much less to the hundreds of villages in Jinja alone. Quite honestly, even if I had endless resources, I wouldn't know where to begin or how to best improve the lives of those I met. I soon came to the realization that I was there for psychological care. I was there to encourage them in their faith and, if nothing else, provide them with hope. Investing my feelings in these people was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, but it consoled me to feel like maybe I could make a small difference in the lives of those whom I met. While we cannot see the needs of those around us as well as Jesus, we can make strides to ensure that those in our lives feel loved and supported in their spiritual journeys. We need to be purposefully aware of the mental state of those around us, just as we would look after them physically. The man's friends in this story are determined to get him to Jesus, as they know he will take care of the rest. We must be the friends. We must pick up those around us and lead them in a direction of hope, no matter what that looks like for them. We are all different and require various angles from which to be reached, but we cannot give up on the well-being of those around us, as hard as it may be to help them. The perfect example of the friend is our youth pastor, Sean Williams. Sean works tirelessly to reach us in our awkward, disengaged, and immature years and encourage us spiritually. We most likely are the hardest group to do this for, but Sean and Caroline have worked endlessly to ensure that we have infinite opportunities to mature and grow in our faith. Even harder than looking out for those around us is admitting that we ourselves need support and encouragement in our own spiritual lives. We cannot be afraid or ashamed to seek the help we need in fear of appearing weak to our peers and friends. And we, most importantly, must be completely translucent and truthful with ourselves in prayer and in leading a Christian life. So, seek the help you need and give the help you can give. Spread love to those around you, but don't be afraid to accept it when you could use some as well. Amen.